Good morning, everybody. My name is Rich Landsman. I head up the mail group at AOL, and I'm really excited to be here this morning to talk to you a little bit about some exciting new concepts that are coming out of our mail group. I've been with AOL for a little over 3 years, joined AOL as a result of an acquisition, and really started at AOL at the beginning of, kind of, I guess what I would call AOL's renaissance. It's the beginning of the change in AOL's business model, from a paid membership model to a free content, free application model. And as you'll see today and over the next few slides, this change has really, really been a revolutionary in all different aspects. Next slide. AOL has a long history of innovation in email, kind of starting back with the original AOL client back in the olden days. I know I remember those days. I don't know how many of you guys do. AOL was the originator of instant messaging, had the first webmail application in 1998, and then things kind of went dark for a while. It's not that innovation stopped at AOL, it's just that we stopped talking about it as much externally, and all of the communications, all of the marketing was all all targeted at AOL members. Starting in 2004, that all began to change. We launched a major rewrite of our AOL webmail application in 2004, 2005. We rolled out Open IMAP. To the best of my knowledge, AOL is still the only large email provider which provides full Open IMAP access for free for all of its mail customers, whether you're paying or not. And you'll see how that pays off in terms of freedom of choice, in terms of how you access your mail here in the next few slides. 2005, we started integrating instant messaging with our webmail application. We upgraded AIM Express, which is a 100% web-based instant messaging application. We announced unlimited mail storage for our AOL members, and this year we've announced unlimited storage for all of our users, paid or free. We increased or enhanced our address book syncing, and in the last 12 months or so, we've launched something that we call personal domains. For the first time now, you have a choice not only of an AOL.com or an AOL or an AIM.com email address or any of our global email domains, but you can actually create your own domain for free and start to sign up your friends. Create your own groups and have your, richlandsman.com domain or whatever is of interest to you. This really marks the beginning of a new trend for us in email as we start to focus more on the social aspects of email, not just the mechanical aspects. Next slide. In terms of where you can access AOL mail today, you can access it really from any application, any platform, anywhere in the world. Starting with desktop mail clients, our AL90 client is freely downloadable. Again, you don't have to be a paid member or subscribe for any ISP-based services. It's available for you, as well as through any client that supports Open IMAP. So that's Outlook, Thunderbird, any mobile application. Most of the mobile phones today have IMAP clients. Excuse me. In addition to that, we have webmail applications. We've had our web suite product in the market since 2004, 2005, really integrating mail, instant messaging, address book, and calendar. We have a brand new update to that mail, which is in beta now and will ship within the next few weeks. You'll be getting cards at the end of the session here, but you can check that out today at beta.aol.com. I'm sorry, beta.webmail.aol.com. And last but not least, we're very active in the mobile mail space. We have WAP 1 and WAP 2 applications and are actively working on push IMAP support. For example, when the new Apple iPhone launches, because that is shipping with an Open IMAP client, that mobile device will automatically work with all your AOL mail accounts. Next slide. So this is something that I think is often forgotten, but email really is the internet's first social application, right? With all the buzz over the last few years about social networking and MySpace and Facebook and all of those type of applications, I think we tend to forget that email was the original way that we interacted as individuals and as groups on the internet. Unfortunately, it hasn't really evolved as a social application. the way that we interact with mail today is pretty much the same way that we've interacted with it since the beginning. Folder list, message list, read message, send message. But if you think of how your day typically goes, whether you're in a business or just in a social setting, you're often interacting with much smaller groups of people, right? If you're at work, there may be your coworkers that you're interacting with. You may be waiting for and want to respond very timely to email from your boss or from people on your team. When you're at home on the weekend, you may have a different group of people that you're interacting with, right? Maybe your friends, your family, maybe other activities you're in, clubs, sports teams, things like that. And as you use today's mail applications, you know, think about, you know, things like, you know, how do I know that I'm going to get a new message from somebody important, right? Do I have to keep checking my email on my BlackBerry or my Windows mobile device to see if I've got a message from my boss today? What do I do? How do I know what the status is? Are they online? Are they available? Can I chat with them? Can I send them email? Will they get it? You know, what's new about them? Have they posted new photos, new videos, etc.? Basically, I need a way where I can interact with my group, with my social groups, and I need a way to interact when I want to. And it's got to be something that's simple, friendly, and fun to do. Next slide. So today we're announcing the AOL Social Mail Gadget, and we're going to be going into a lot of detail, telling you more about it in terms of what it does, how it was implemented, all the gory details. But as you think about this and you see the demo, think about this as kind of your gateway to your groups, kind of a nexus point for your communication. So the Social Mail Gadget kind of integrates all of these different ways that people are communicating and exchanging data. Whether it's through mail or AIM status or what's new in pictures or videos. You can access it, as I said earlier, from, you know, from any of these applications. And we think it's really a new way and a different way, an exciting way for people to interact. Next slide. So as you think about this, think about what you're passionate about. Right? What are the things that motivate you? What are the things that encourage you or enable you to talk to different groups or interact with different groups? And you know, we have some case studies here that we'll talk about. But rather than go into more detail, let me turn this over very quickly to the folks that have actually done all the work on this project. So let me introduce Eric Hoffman.
Hi, I'm Eric Hoffman.
And Mike Bott.
Mike Bott, I'm the product manager.
And Eric is the dev manager, and I'm going to let you guys go through and show people what we've got and talk about how we did it.
Okay.
And then we'll have Q&A at the end. So thank you.
Thanks, Rich. All right, before we dive into the fun stuff, I'm actually going to go through the demo, and Eric's going to go through kind of what makes the product work, all the stuff behind the scenes that I'm sure all of you want to see. We're going to see who was paying attention to this first part here. So we've got some 1 gig flash drives here. See if you can answer some questions correctly. Who knows what company Rich works for? Yeah? There you go.
Here's another question for
out.
You. Is AOL free now, true or false? All right. Okay. We got a lot of t-shirts on that one there.
Yeah.
Perfect. There, you guys need one in the front row.
Yeah, it's a little dangerous.
I could use one of those 1 gig drives, too.
Another t-shirt. Cool.
All right, what year did AOL start offering Open IMAP? No? 204. There you go, great. Sorry, I can only see a light, so it's your voices. So. All right, there's going to be some more questions later on, but yeah, you guys did good so far. All right. So Rich mentioned a few of the personas. You know that you could be into surfing, you could be a college student, you could be a boardroom Bob where you just need to interact with your colleagues, or you could be I believe last was Cyrus the Virus, the developer, right, with the rock band. And you know, there's more to mail than just sending and receiving, right? What we tried to do, Rich mentioned fun. We want to integrate your passion with our email product, so you can really have that full experience. You don't need to leave, you know, surfing at the beach if you're Susie Surfer. And actually, let's hear from Susie Surfer to see her story.
Moments on the internet is by far my coolest.
Happy feet.
Yes.
You don't have to worry anymore.
Let the trash talking begin.
It's the
I got sand in my pants. Rain dance.
Only on AOL.
All right, that's the wrong soundbite. That's not Susie Searle.
We would have heard her talk about her experience as a college student. She's a freshman at San Diego State, and she loves surfing, and she's got to always keep in touch with her mom. You know, she's got to hear from her every day, hear what's going new, making sure she's going to class and all that stuff, you know. And she also wants to interact with her friends and family members, and she's got this A-list people that she can't miss, right? So what we're going to do is show you how Susie actually uses the new AOL Social Mail gadget. All right, as you'll see up in the gadget bar there, we have the AOL Social Mail client. The first thing you'll notice is Susie's pocket full of surfboards. She's elected to go with the surfer theme, and Eric's going to talk a little bit later how you can customize that and switch to something that's more your style. But Susie, she's into surfing, so that's what she's going to go with. Each of the surfboards actually represent her A-list, right? And so how does Susie interact with this A-list? Well, first of all, first time she logs in, the gadget scours her inbox to see who those top five people are. So there's no setup to begin with. And obviously, she can go back and configure it. Let's say I get a lot of emails from American Airlines, and I don't really want them to be in my top five. I can switch that to my grandma or something like that, right? So what she does is scrolls over the gadget itself. You'll notice the cool animation. Let's see that one more time, Eric. There you go.
Nice.
And you'll notice the new display is no longer just the blank surfboards, because what if you don't remember who the green board is? Well, this is a view that's a little more user-friendly. You can customize it and put, you know, this is Eric, and even instead of Eric Surf 123 or whatever the screen name would be, right? And next to the surfboards, you'll notice a mail count for each of those people. So it's in a way, a little filter, right? So Eric Surf looks like he sent a few emails to Susie, and Susie always likes hearing from Eric Surf. And so what he does is he launches the new the flyout for Eric Surf. It's all about Eric. You'll notice on the left there the green flower. What that green flower is Eric's online presence. He's online. So what she can do is send an IM directly to him, one-click access, and it launches our new AIM 6.1 client with Eric. Screen name pre-populated there. So it's one-click access, one-click convenience. Eric was talking about making sure you can reach out and connect to those people in your A-list. Well, this is an easy way to do it. Similarly, let's say she wants to send an email. Let's say that flower is red, so Eric's offline. Click send email. Boom, the email client launches with Eric's screen name once again pre-populated with a compose form. All right. Now, moving down the flyout itself, you'll notice the list of recent emails. These are, you know, the recent emails that Eric has sent Susie. And to snack on the information, rather than launching a full mail application, you know you don't need to read every email. Sometimes you just want to get a gist of it to see if you want to get into it. You can click on them, and there's a little preview with a truncated body message. You can see the time and any attachments that have been sent. So if you click on a few of them, you can see it replaces it. And if we wanted to see the whole message, we can click more, and that would launch the web application with the full email. Now, going further down the page here, you'll see we have recent pictures and we have recent videos. So what we've done, we pulled all the pictures and videos that Eric has sent Susie, and we put them in nice fashion. You'll see Eric's rolling over them, and this is Silverlight, and Eric's going to talk about how this all works, but we're really excited. If you roll over one of the videos, you can see the video plays in place. And if we click it, plays in line. You don't even need to open a media player. Right. Let's listen to the dancing cow here for a second.
Let the trash talking begin. I got sand in my pants. Bring me. Only on AOL.
All right. There you go. All right, and you'll notice, since AOL is a free service now, we have nice ad placement at the bottom there, all right? So after Susie checks out with Eric's Surface Center, she, you know, saw the new emails, watched the video that she liked. You know, she likes to moo it, right? She closes her gadget, goes back. Let's say she creates a playlist on iTunes, right? So she's disengaged with the mail gadget. Well, let's scroll off here. So she's working.
It's in the mail.
And she notices that There's notification of a new email. One of the boards glows, you know? So you can see the green board there, which she knows is her friend Bad Bill just sent her a new email, right? So easily, you know, she knows, okay, the green board, Bad Bill. Bad Bill just sent me a new mail. You know, I love hearing from Bad Bill. Let's check it out. So she clicks on Bad Bill, looks at the top message, which is the most recent one, and Bill's letting her know that, their band has their next gig on Friday, right? So, she's like, okay, cool, I'll be there on Friday, and she's thinking about Bill's band, and she's like, you know what? I want to change from a surf theme to a rock theme. I'm thinking about rock right now, rock and roll. So what she does, she zips over to the settings menu and switches from the surf theme to the rock theme. And you'll notice also on the bottom there, that's where you can customize the people in your A-list. She logs in again. This is just an early build, so that'll automatically log in. You'll notice we have a new rock theme, right? I know probably some of you identify with this new theme. Obviously, the guitars represent her Fab Five, her A-list. And in the bottom there, you'll notice the inbox count again, 28, right? Scroll over, click on Eric Surf again. You'll see the whole skin has been changed. And you know, obviously, Eric's still online. He was online earlier. Now, 10 new messages from Eric. She doesn't want to scroll through and peek at each one. She wants to see everything that Eric sent her. So clicks on 10 new messages, and boom, we've got our new webmail beta product, our web suite, and we have a filtered view of Eric's screen name. Right? So these are the 10 messages that Eric has sent Susie recently. You'll notice it's highlighted. And now that we're into the webmail product, we're pretty excited. Rich mentioned that it's going to launch here in a few weeks. I want to show you some of the innovation we've got in our new web suite. Eric, if you want to go to the new mail list, there you go. And scrolling up and down, no longer do you have to page through content. You can easily find your mail by just dragging up and down, up and down, up and down, right? Some of the other wows, if you look on the right side there, we have the panel area. We've got people, to-do, TMZ.com. So your people, coming soon, you're going to be able to IM directly from this mail application. If you want to check out the latest news on TMZ.com or whatever your favorite RSS feed is, go for it. Click there. You're good to go. Over on the left, you'll notice we have a calendar feature. Inline calendar, we have inline read, inline compose. So all in one application. You can see it's fast, it's nimble, and everything's kind of at your fingertips there. So now that I've kind of talked you through what I'm excited about from a product perspective, I'm going to let Eric tell you how this was all built, because his team did a really great job. Eric?
Thank you. Okay, you can drive. So you guys have had a chance to see our new gadget. You've had a chance to see our new beta webmail product. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the demand that's put on our web suite. We have about an average of 1 million peak users a day hitting our web complex, which is quite a lot, actually. 800 emails a day are deposited, and what the users don't see is how all this stuff works. So we've now recently scaled to 600 IIS servers. The backbone is Windows 2003, running .NET and C#. The web clients use a combination of HTML, Dojo, XHTML, WAP 2.0, and some other technologies. So it's multiple applications are served by one platform. If you look over to the left side, That's our new webmail client that we just showed you, and that's running, of course, for the broadband folks. Next to that, we have our HTML mail client that may run in India, that may run on an IE55 browser, maybe it's a middle band, doesn't quite have the speed that's available in other parts of the country. Later this summer, we're actually going to have a WAP 2.0 solution that's provided by the same infrastructure, and we even have something for the PDAs, for those Trio users out there. And, of course, our online AIM Express, which is a browser version of our AIM product. Now, that's all served with all that demand, all those millions of users hitting it at one time. We got to gate that somehow. So we use a VIP. We use a switch to basically throttle all the activity that's going on coming into our complexes. And then below the switch, this is basically those 600 IIS servers that I spoke about earlier. Of course, that's running .NET and C#. And that also, not only does that provide a set of web servers for us, but it also provides a protocol abstraction. You notice a layer below that, all of our email was based on IMAP. Rich touched on this before. But that's, it's a rather complex protocol. So we have a layer that abstracts that. We also have an SMTP for sending mail and our AIM protocols. So this whole stack together provides us the platform for our entire web suite. So one thing that you're probably wondering about was, yeah, that's great for all the in-house applications, but what can I do as a developer out there in the community that, you know, if I want to consume somebody's services? And one of our charters, especially in the last couple of years, is developing lightweight open services that are easy to use. Rich mentioned earlier about the fact that we have Open IMAP. We've had that for several years, and you can consume that on an Outlook client or even a Thunderbird client. And we have some new services coming out this summer. We're really excited about them. We have a mail listing service that's coming out. Let's say you want to write a little gadget that allows you to list mail. Just pull the recent headers, and you can make a little widget with it. You probably also want to have some mail counts with that, too. You know, hey, how many mail counts do I have? But you don't want to have to hook up to an IMAP backend to do that. You want something light, easy, and fast to use. So that's coming out this summer. We also have something that's very interesting coming out, too, a deposit service. This deposit service is actually going to allow you to take data, mail data from maybe another client, and actually deposit that into your current email account. And, you know, imagine that what, you know, the consolidation and aggregation of all the data you can do with that service. So we take a look at this graphically here. So let's assume that, you know, we have a couple of these services down here. And you can combine those services with other services from other places, such as maybe you want to combine an open service from maybe MySpace or maybe a Yahoo or Flickr, and you make your own application. This basic architecture will provide that. Notice that all these services are running on top of mail data. That's actually an abstraction. We're not actually talking directly to the protocols. We're actually talking to an abstraction layer, which makes these things lightweight and easy. They run on top of HTML requests. You can either return XML or a JSON object. And we're actually on the next slide going to show you an example of how easy it is to use our mail count service. This one I couldn't help myself. This one was so easy that I had to put it up on the slide deck when I was putting this together. You see here we have an HTTP request, and we have a mail count and an email address, and we're asking for a JSON object in return. So what the server returns back is the status code looks like everything is okay, tells us that it's the inbox, and it tells us we have a count of 5. So it's an easy object to work with a dot notation. You can consume it, and you can display the mail count on your little widget client. So I'd like to now turn our attention to our development on the gadget. We felt this was a real good time for us to basically fuse the power of the desktop with the nimbleness of the web. And this is truly our first rich internet application. One of the technologies we looked at was Silverlight. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that and some of the other competing technologies. One of the things that was really attractive to us was the footprint. You saw this yesterday in the keynote where you had, you know, that first user experience, which is it was a very quick download and the application ran. That's very important to us. We don't want those long downloads getting in the way of people using and consuming our content. I'll go back a slide. The other thing that was really important to us was we wanted something that was fresh and a really cool user experience. And one of those things is, of course, animations. And with this technology that we chose, we felt that it was much easier. We developed the whole gadget in a little over 4 weeks, the one that you just saw earlier. And to do those animations and other technologies, of course, you could, but it would be significantly more complicated to do that in other technologies. And, of course, you get a nice, rich, expressive experience and just the right amount of information to do that in. The other thing that we noticed, too, when we were developing the gadget was our productivity was actually the way we did things was a lot different. We actually were able to design what the gadget was going to look like, get a real WYSIWYG view of it, and then actually turn that into XAML code and then give that over to some other folks on the team to actually write the back-end JavaScript layer for it. The tools were a great aid in our productivity. I don't think, honestly, we could have gotten it done in the amount of time without these tools. The other thing that was a bonus for us, too, was it was familiar. The code looked familiar. It was basically markup with JavaScript. And now, in fact, you know, speaking of the mini CLR, when we were developing this, we didn't actually have the mini CLR. I wish we had of, but I'm actually going to show you some JavaScript code in a little bit here today, but I wish it was C#. But we're going to get there. That's what we're going to port over very soon. One of the other things that was really important to us of going to this, we knew the mini CLR was going to come out, and we're looking for that as quick and responsive performance as we can possibly get. Another thing that a lot of you folks probably have out there as developers is you have some legacy code sitting around. You've got code sitting there that you've had probably pulls data from a server, pulls data from some. And Silverlight was enabled us to actually keep that and allow us to use those ActiveX controls. And that's not necessarily true in some of the other competing technologies that are out there. You're not able to do that. So that was real important to us to get that high-speed desktop component that we were looking for. So I want to talk a little bit about the desktop component that we use. It's a COM object that provides the mail sync. It actually talks to the back-end mail host, and that syncs the data asynchronously in the background when the gadget's running so that when you click on it, the data's already there. There's no waiting. There's no host latency. It also stores it in a high-speed SQL database so that we can use that for searching and indexing and maybe future clients. But the point is that it's synced and the data's there. And it's also, it offers continuous offline functionality. So it provided the right blend of integration and all the touch points that we needed. Okay, let's talk about a code snack here. So I want to show you guys some actual code behind the gadget that we created. I'm going to talk about our model view controller architecture. I'm going to show you how we consume legacy code, and I'm actually going to show you some of the animations that we did and the tools to which to do that with. So let's first talk about model view architecture. So this, I took screenshots of the compiler just because it was easier than flipping back and forth. So essentially this is our model. And of course you guys are familiar with this. The model is simply the data. Every application has to have data behind it. This is in the core of the gadget. And this doesn't change regardless of what skin you're using. This uses the same model. You can see here this is a constructor. We pass in and we create a controller, an account, and observers for listening to events coming in and out. And we also default to the beach skin, but that can be changed. And this is actually the first of our view. This is actually what people see. The rules of the sidebar are essentially to have a HTML page that loads. And inside of that, you can see it's just regular HTML. But one thing that we did do was inside the JavaScript, when we load that page inside the sidebars, we actually create a Silverlight control. And in the demo that you saw earlier, we actually create four Silverlight controls. One for the sidebar, which is what does all the animations. And we have three in the flyout, which does the video playback, the list of pictures, and also the list of videos that you saw. We use a total of four of them. They're created on the fly as we need them. But you can see here, we have var new AOLgadget.scene. We can create a WPF host. I guess that'll be changed to Silverlight in a future release, I would imagine. But for now, it's WPFE host and the size of the control. And that's actually what does all the animations for us. And I'm going to actually show you how that works in just a minute here. So I mentioned before about consuming legacy code and how important it was to us for having the good performance that you saw earlier. So when we initialize the application, this is actually in the core of the gadget itself, not in the skin, and I'll get to the skinning and how we did that in a minute. But this actually creates a new ActiveX object, a Gmail factory, and this is actually creating an AOL mail server. And this happens to be a COM object that we instantiated. We did a regserve 32 for those COM folks in the audience, and registered that object prior to running the application. So this creates an instance of the object and allows us to consume it throughout the lifetime of the gadget itself. So some of the animations. I wanted to actually take a minute to talk about the development that we did on the animation. So we actually have blend. You guys saw this yesterday in the demo. And I wanted to kind of show you guys exactly how easy it was for us to do this. And as Mike drags across the little bar, you can actually see the animation happening on the gadget itself. And this transpires in a matter of about 700 milliseconds. The animation, when you roll over, it actually is about 700 milliseconds. And each of these keyframes, it allowed us to modify each of the positions and the location of each of the boards. Pretty slick. And that, of course, gets turned in. And that's even before you see any of the code behind it. You develop all that, and then it develops a storyboard with a bunch of math behind it. But this is much easier to see and work with than doing that. This is one of the reasons why we chose the technology. Well, like any other technology that's out there, we, of course, had a few bumps in the road. But they weren't insurmountable. For one thing, it was new. That may excite some engineers. It may, you know, give some anxiety to some engineers. But it was new. It was simplified by design. We'd been working with WPF. We switched over to Silverlight. There were just some things that weren't there. You know, we were missing, at the time, controls. And, you know, the day before I come out here, we get a new drop, and boom, there's controls in there. One of the other things we had a problem with was layout. And if you noticed, on the flyout, we actually use an HTML page on the flyout. We didn't actually use Silverlight for the whole thing. And the reason for that is you'd have to write your own layout engine. So we chose to use HTML with a few embedded Silverlight controls using cascading style sheets behind that. I'm sure that will evolve in the future. One other issue we had was with transparency and chroma keying. If you noticed when we demoed the gadget, we actually had to play a background. There was like a pocket behind it. Our initial intention was to have to be transparent behind it, so you'd see no background behind it. But what happened, we got a magenta glow around it, and that's an issue that's just part of the newness of the code. But overall, I think it was a good experience, and now that we have the CLR, one of the first things that we're going to do before we get to version 2 of this is recommend you convert this over to using C# for the business logic to get even faster performance and smaller footprint and a smaller download as well. So I want to talk about skinning and theming. One of the things that, on the onset of this project, is this was very important to us. We wanted to make this skinnable. We wanted to make it so that people could identify with it, that they could basically, you know, feel like this was their gadget and this is how they wanted to consume their data and how they wanted to, you know, interact with their acquaintances. And The way that we approached this was a little bit different than what you may think. So we're going to take a look, we're going to take another code snack here. We're going to take a look at a simple strategy and kind of the strategy we selected. We're going to take a look at some custom layouts and the behaviors and some scripting. So a simple strategy on skinning. So one of the choices that you could have done was to simply, a simple strategy for skinning would be to simply take the surfboard that you saw and then switch over to just different art and replace that with guitars. But then you'd have the same animations, you'd have the same behavior, you'd have the controls in the same place. We thought that was kind of limiting. And, you know, what if somebody wanted to make a skin that didn't have the pictures in? Maybe they wanted to put an uncut, or they wanted to put a MySpace control in, or they pulled or an RSS feed. So what we decided to do was actually create a structure that allows you to have the behaviors and the markup included. So if you take a look here under Pocket and Beach, we have the markup, which is the scene, which is basically the frame of the flyout. And we have a media viewer and a media list. Those two XAML files are actually the list of pictures that you saw and the list of videos that you saw earlier. And if you open it up, but if you take a look underneath layouts and behavior, we actually have the images for each one of those. So now on layouts and behavior, what we chose to do with this was to provide the JavaScript, and it'll soon be C# code, behind us to actually allow you to change the behaviors. And as you can see here, this is where we're actually instantiating one of the media list controls that allows you to see the list of pictures we showed you on the flyout earlier. And similarly, on the media viewer, a list of videos. Like I mentioned, though, before, perhaps this is something that folks want to change. And what we're going to do for version 2 of this, we're going to make a wizard that actually allows you to go in and make this a very unarduous task to basically create a new skin, and then the users would simply have to just drop the art in, but the behaviors would be defined, and if they want to modify it, they could simply do that. Well, I've had a chance to talk to you about the technology behind what we used, why we chose it, and we believe this is the right way to go for rich internet applications, and there's still a place for the desktop and the web to meet together with our new social email gadget. I'd like to turn it now over to Rich Landsman, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Mike. Great job. We've been talking about social email inside of AOL now for a while. It's been a concept that we've been exploring. And I think for the first time, the combination of Vista Gadgets and Silverlight and a lot of the new technology here has really allowed us to kind of express a lot of these concepts. And what I hope you agree is kind of a new and kind of fresh way of thinking about how you interact with email and all the things that are related to that. As you leave kind of, the takeaways here, think about the concept of A-list. Think about, is that something that resonates with you? Is that something that you think that you or your friends or people that you work with kind of, would adopt and use? Think about how you might switch between your different A-lists throughout the day, depending on what you're working on and what projects or what activities are important to you. Think about how you might customize this also, right? We're going to be announcing, I think, in the very near future, kind of all the toolkits and everything necessary so that you can develop your own skins, upload them, share them, et cetera. And lastly, email was fun to begin with, and email should be fun on an ongoing basis. And from my standpoint, email's fun again with things like the AOL social mail gadget. So thank you all for coming. I really, really appreciate it. We got time, lots of time here for Q&A and general discussion. So
yeah, we've got more thumb drives as well. So
some more T-shirts too.
Put the hands up.
So actually, thanks. Save one of these. I didn't get one of these yet.
All right, who remembers how many Silverlight controls were in the gadget?
Oh wow! Oh hey, we need some more T-shirts out here. A T-shirt. Somebody wants one. Another T-shirt over here.
Who remembers Susie Surfer's screen name?
Ooh.
Ooh, tough one. Give me a hint. It's got Susie and Surfer in it.
Any questions?
So one thing that we forgot to mention is that check out this dev.aol.com. This is we're actually going to be posting the gadget up there probably the middle of May. You can download it. It'll be the Rev1. It'll be in beta probably in the month of May and June. And we're looking to actually have it ready, done by the middle of July. And then, like I mentioned before, the future versions, we're going to have the ability to have a wizard and be able to create your own skins with it.
Sure. Question, since it's starting in the middle there. Yeah.
If someone doesn't have the Silverlight control on their machine, does it get downloaded and installed as part of the gadget?
What it'll actually do is, just like we saw, I don't know if you were at the keynote yesterday, but it'll actually prompt you for it. It'll ask you to download it, and it was about a 20-second download, I think, on a fast pipe. That's a good question.
Can you tell me a little bit how the designs and developments work together on server one and how successful that was?
Yeah, actually, that was a really good story for us. We actually worked with an independent design firm, and they were actually developing the UI, and they gave us basically the screenshots for it. But my developers actually did the development of the design inside of Blend itself.
Okay.
And then then they just transferred it over and used the Visual Studio for actually porting all the JavaScript for it. So the thing that's interesting about it is you kind of have to be part designer, part developer. And that was probably the hardest thing for my team was actually getting used to playing with the art so much and cutting it and all the layers and. But the tool made it really easy for us. So, but you'll have to, that's a great point. And as you look at hiring designers, you're going to kind of want some that are basically can wear both hats. And that's hard to find. I know it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy problem to solve.
Yeah. Did you find the issues with them buying into the Microsoft tool?
I'm sorry?
Did they resist buying into the Microsoft tool? Did they embrace them and increase
them? The question was about resisting buying the Microsoft tools?
Yeah, no, actually, it wasn't an issue at all. I see your point. I mean, they're used to maybe some of the other things they've used, tried and true for the last couple of years. But the thing that makes this such a nice development suite is that it integrates so tightly and it kicks out the XAML code. And one of the things that we didn't have when we were developing this was the new part of the suite that we saw yesterday in the keynote, which is the tool that allows you to develop art and stuff like that that kicks out XAML. That was one of the hardest problems we had. So in this thing, we actually didn't use any vector-based art. It's all PNGs. Yeah, and actually, I was worried about the performance myself, but it actually ended up being pretty snappy. We tried a couple of the couple of vector-based art things, but they were so hard to generate, and there wasn't a good tool to integrate them with until the suite just came out this week. So next time, if we work on it again, we're gonna use the whole suite for that.
I can tell you from the business side, just watching Eric and his team work, those guys are so excited, and it's such a difference when they're working with something that they're excited about. I mean, you work longer hours, you work harder because you want to make something cool. These guys are sending us drops the whole time we've been in Vegas. So, they're pretty excited about this too.
Absolutely.
In the back there.
Yeah, so we're not going to officially release it until, it'll be in beta, but we're not going to officially release it until the Silverlight itself GMs, when it's out of beta.
Yeah, it'll be available sometime mid-May,
yeah,
right, through the dev.aol.com link you have there. And Roy, are we handing out cards that have the links on them and everything?
Yeah,
so you can check it out and play around with it.
Yeah, if you keep going to the site, eventually we're going to get the wizard up there, and we're going to ask people to, maybe it'll be an alpha version of the wizard, you can create your own skin.
Yeah, upload your skin,
upload your skin, share them, and that's what we're trying to do with it.
Yeah. Cuz cutting
out functionality because it wasn't supported. Eric?
Actually, we were pretty lucky. I mean, the only thing that I mentioned it during the talk was that we didn't use Silverlight for certain things like layout. And we didn't use it for any of the controls because when we were developing it, the Silverlight version that we had didn't have those things. So it's almost like that was something we had to go over. Now they're available. Now there's lists and trees. So it's actually more usable for even an app perspective than simply for just a simple gadget like this. But it was overall a good experience. And the only thing that we didn't use, employ from Silverlight, was some of the 3D stuff. That's the only thing that we really didn't. We chose not to use with it because I guess it's just simply not. It's not available, but it's harder to do.
How long was the development time to create the game?
Well, honestly, it was a pretty crazy development cycle. We did the whole thing in about 4 weeks. I had guys sending me code 3 a.m. Saturday night, and then a funny story that happened. We were using the Scrum 9. Of this drop, and last night at about 8 o'clock, it just expired. So I go to run the gadget, and the thing doesn't work at all, and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? So I went and downloaded the new 1.0 that was announced in the keynote yesterday, and all of our animations were totally busted. They didn't work, so I was like, oh man, I couldn't believe this. So we had to go in and change the code. And unfortunately, it ended up being just a couple lines of code. But it ended up working out well for us.
Yeah, it was a great process. As I said earlier, we had you know, a lot of the concept work, I think, you know, was work that had been going on for a while, and you know, there was different prototypes and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the a good definition of trust as a manager is when your team comes to you and says, hey, Rich, we have this great speaking opportunity in 4 weeks. We think we can pull it off. But by the way, you won't be able to actually see it until probably about 2 or 3 days before we actually talk.
And, that was the truth.
Yeah, so, you know, that's trust, baby.
Yeah, it was. I think he saw it like Thursday last week.
Yeah, it was the first time.
Yeah, it was.
And no smoke and mirrors with this thing either.
Yeah, it's all live. So I use this on my email account, and because of the way this is set up, we didn't dwell too much on it in the demo, but if you haven't picked your A-list out, basically, it'll actually go through and find the five people that you kind of send email with or communicate with and get you started there. And so you can use it on any email address that you want or any email account that you want, basically.
And then if you, you know, you go and you configure it for five people you don't communicate with very often, and then you want it to go back to pick the heavy hitters in your inbox, there's a button that allows you to go back and rescan your inbox, and it'll allow, and it'll repopulate it. Yeah. So that'll be available on the first download. Yeah, so what we're going to do with that is when you download it, we're going to have a script that actually does the RedServe 32 on it when, as part of the download. Yeah, because it, I mean, you know, honestly, you could also, and we chose to do it that way for performance, but if you had a web service, you know, as an example, maybe you developed a gadget, you could have a web service, you wouldn't have to do that. But we chose that just simply because it syncs the data for us and it provides that high-speed offline capability. So that's why we wanted to glue that, that really high-speed comm object with it.
Any other questions? Great. Well, thank you all for coming. Cool. We really, really appreciate it, and I hope you learned something something useful today.
Yeah, make sure you grab a T-shirt at the back, and we've got a bunch of pens, and do we have any more? No more flash drives left.
So. Ah, darn.
Only for questions. So. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, guys.